Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 32nd episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you who are joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, well, a very special welcome to you. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you valuable information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each week. I would like to open this week's show by letting you know why there was not a show for last week. My grandson, who was due to be born on July 24th, decided he couldn't wait to meet everybody. So he came into the world in June 30th. So instead of having 3.5 weeks to get ready to do the trip, I had to drop everything and go out to where they lived and be there for the day after the birth. I didn't quite make it on the birthday. So I do apologize if there was any inconvenience or if you were confused about what was going on with the show. I was in the hospital on Thursday and I did not have an opportunity to record my show. Thank you for having patience with me. This is only the second time in over 32 weeks that I have had to miss my show, and it's usually due to extended circumstances. So, we have a brand new addition to our family. I'm thrilled to welcome him, and he's a beautiful baby boy. So, I guess you'll know what I do for fun this week. I went and traveled and met my newest member of the family. It was pretty exciting. Anyway, today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about PTSD. And PTSD is interesting because if you're human, you probably have experienced it at one level or another, either a very mild level or a very severe level. And I've had some of my clients come in, and when we talk about the symptoms of what's going on in their life, they finally realize that they have PTSD. But they kept thinking it was something only veterans have, or people who are in intense situations all the time have. And really, sometimes PTSD can be an ongoing event that is stressful to you that builds up over time. So we'll talk a little bit about PTSD today. And I found a quote that came from Warren Buffett, and I really like this quote. It's causing me to look at my life a little bit differently and reevaluate some of the things that I've been doing. Warren Buffett says, "Should you find yourself in a chronically leaking boat, energy devoted to changing vessels is likely to be more productive than energy devoted to patching links." A lot of times, those clients with PTSD have been doing solution, 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 and symptom management, symptom management, symptom management. And they might need to change their boat. They might need to get out of that leaky vessel and try to put Band-Aids over the symptoms and ignore what's happening and really begin to change vessels. Look to a cause and look what they can do to alleviate that cause. What is out there? What opportunities are available to them to heal and reclaim their health? So what is PTSD? Well, I went to the National Institute of Mental Health, and I looked up what their definition was, and I really liked what they had to say. They have it as post-traumatic stress disorder. I've also heard it as post-traumatic stress disease, because a disease is a pathological process that affects human physiology. There's a pathology to it. And when we get into this definition a little bit more, we'll find that there are certain glands and organs in the body that are associated with post-traumatic stress. So let's come back to the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. You all have heard me talk about that. And actually, the four self-healing skills are excellent skills for dealing with PTSD. At any rate, I'm quoting directly from the NIMH Institute. And it says, what is post-traumatic stress disorder? When in danger, it's natural to feel afraid. This fear triggers many split-second changes in the body to prepare it to defend against danger or to avoid it. This fight-or-flight response is a healthy reaction meant to protect a person from harm. But in the post-traumatic stress disorder, this reaction is changed or damaged. People who have PTSD may feel stressed or frightened, even when they're no longer in danger. Sometimes PTSD can come, and now that this is my interpretation, I'm not reading from the website any longer. Sometimes PTSD can come from a single emotional trauma, mental trauma, or physical trauma, or a huge combination of all three of those in one event. And I would suspect that that's what makes it a huge traumatic event, when all aspects of self are consciously involved. So you have an event, it triggers PTSD. We'll talk about some of those symptoms here in just a little bit. But a lot of my clients say, but I don't have any major events. I wasn't in war. I didn't have this happen. I had a minor accident about 6 years ago, but I'm over that now. So they're not seeing some of the ways in which their life has been influenced or affected by PTSD, and they keep thinking it's something only veterans have, because that's how it's mostly classified in literature. There's, if you mention it, even at the National Institute of Mental Health website, they associate it with veterans. Veterans do many times have PTSD. However, it's not limited to vets. So where is stress? What is the fight, flight, or freeze, and how does this work? Well, we've talked about the sympathetic nervous system. We've talked about the stress response of the sympathetic nervous system. And fight, flight, or freeze is a survival. It's not thriving. It's a survival mechanism, which means that it's associated with a stress response or a threat to life response. And the interesting thing about us humans, as we grow older, we tend to hold on to those stressful situations. Now, I'm watching my grandson, and Brian, my son, said something about, you know, what's going on, and I said, I'm watching him belly breathe. And he said, why? I said, because this is how we come into life. We come into life beautiful, accepting, loving, belly breathing. We drink when we're thirsty. We sleep when we're tired, and yet much of that natural body rhythm is trained or habituated out of us. Babies sleep when they're tired. Do adults? No. We push through, we push through, we push through. So this brings us back into PTSD being more than just a single traumatic event. Excuse me. It can be ongoing, chronic stressors that are never alleviated. So say your biorhythms have you being what they call a night person and you like staying up at night, but your job requires you to be at work at 6 in the morning. If your natural biorhythms, not the ones that you impose, but the natural biorhythms are for you to be more awake at night, This creates a stressful situation in mind-body. It creates a situation where your body is not happy doing the things that you're asking it to do at the times you're asking it to do. And if you work at that job for 20 years, you can create chronic stress in mind-body. And then you are suffering from or suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder. And they have it as post-traumatic, but it could be chronic traumatic, ongoing traumatic, whatever. You don't necessarily have to wait until the trauma ends to figure out that you've got PTSD. You can figure it out and begin making healthy changes right away. So your fight, flight, or freeze is designed to take you out of a dangerous situation immediately without thought entering in, without consideration to other options. It leaves you choiceless. Your only choice in that situation is to fight, flight, or freeze. Now, interestingly enough, I think the freeze dynamic, and this is my opinion, I haven't seen research supporting this, but I think the freeze dynamic is one of the things that makes us a bigger candidate for the PTSD. Because when you freeze, you're frozen in place, literally, and it becomes this defining event in your life. And if you don't give yourself time, energy, and healing to unfreeze, that little frozen particle, that little frozen memory, that little frozen emotional state, physical state, and trauma stays in a part of your physiology. And then it attracts other traumas. And after a while, your nervous system becomes so habituated to a certain level of adrenaline in your system that if it doesn't get it, it will cause you to relive those states to produce more adrenaline. And this eventually leads to adrenal fatigue. And interestingly enough, the symptoms and signs of adrenal fatigue are very similar to post-traumatic stress disorder. So it may not be one defining event, like when you freeze and you're frozen in place. It can be a series of little events that is recreated every single day. And it just builds up and builds up and builds up. Because stress and trauma are cumulative in mind-body. And when we look at stress and where is stress stored, it's stored in the cells that are created at the time the stress is occurring. It's stored in the cells that are created at the time the stress is occurring. And then this stress is passed on from cell to cell to cell to cell. So some people look at it as families having genetics that are associated with stress. But if you've listened to Bruce Lipton, the genetics don't turn themselves on or off. It's the environment. So you may have a family environment that's chronically stressful. There's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of screaming. There's a lot of fighting going on in a family situation. And so they link it genetically, but it might just be the environment of family, the ongoing chronic fighting in the family can create a body that is susceptible to PTSD. So we look at the amygdala. We've talked much about the amygdala, and the amygdala habituates meaning. So your amygdala is kind of your meaning-making gland. It regulates emotions, and we've talked about this in some previous sessions as well. But your amygdala, out of energy effectiveness, will create the same meaning over and over and over again and put it on similar events so that even if an event isn't stressful per se and it's not traumatic per se, if the amygdala in there is churning out habituated meaning, it will begin assigning a negative meaning to things that have no negative meaning at all. It might just be an occurrence of a cat walking across the road half a mile ahead of you and you see it. Well, that's not stressful in and of itself. If you remember all of the times you had accidents or close calls or whatever, a cat walking across the road a half a mile ahead of you can trigger post-traumatic stress simply because your amygdala says, oh, this is dangerous to have anything crossing the road in front of you. and you begin reacting as if it is dangerous. Not responding, reacting. So it's time for a commercial for the Calm Moms Free Report. I would like to let you know that the audio is still not available, but this week we do have the webinar that you can sign up. And the information is listed in the comments right below the show. So if you're interested in the Calm Moms webinar and you'd just like to have a little bit more information and watch rather than listen, you're welcome to sign up. Be back in just a minute.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms Free Report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms Free Report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms Free Report in audio is a limited-time offer. So act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. So what are some of the symptoms of PTSD? Well, those sound very familiar to adrenal fatigue and... Okay, I apologize. I got disconnected for some reason. We were talking about some symptoms, flashbacks, bad dreams, frightening thoughts, night terrors. Some people experience a loss of appetite. Some people experience overeating. These are common symptoms. Some may be less subtle. If we look at the fight, flight, or freeze response, some people may get frozen and not able to function well. They may stay in bed for extended periods of time. They may flight. They may leave. They may say, I have to get out of here, or I can't do this. They may avoid, which is a common form of flight. They may fight. They may be angry with people. They may be angry with coworkers. They may pick a fight so that their feelings are expressed, but not in a positive way. So these feelings boil up. They are like a pot boiling over. They have to express them. So fight, flight, or freeze, and all of the diverse behaviors associated with those become part of the symptomology of PTSD. And for severe PTSD, I can't emphasize this enough. Highly trained help and support and counseling is needed. I'm not encouraging people to try to handle severe PTSD on their own. Please see your physician. Please find a support group. Please find qualified healthcare professionals that are available to help you move through this severe PTSD. It is not the end of the world, and you can find help and support. So what to do or what happens when people are here in PTSD? Again, avoidance. They may be emotionally numb. They may have a lot of negative emotions. They may find themselves losing interest in things that they used to love to do, and they just can't bring themselves to do it anymore, which is avoidance. All kinds of things can be an expression of post-traumatic stress disorder that's not recognized as part of that disorder that's happening to the person. Remember, please, stress and trauma are cumulative. So as we look at some of these things, the flashbacks, the bad dreams, the frightening thought, the emotional numbness, the negative emotions, losing interest, gaining weight, losing weight, having your relationships fall apart, all of those types of things are influential in a person feeling themselves up in an isolation cocoon because they get their life small enough so that they feel like they can manage just one thing at a time. And meanwhile, they're not sleeping, they're exhausted, their brain is arguing with itself because the limbic system of the brain wants to feel good. The reptilian system and other parts of the brain, the amygdala, some of these other parts, want to keep you safe. And sometimes that means terrifying you so that you don't do a behavior again. That would put you in danger. Severe PTSD, again, I cannot say it enough. Please seek out qualified help. Mild PTSD, having a bad day here and there, you can begin to do some resilience training. Resilience is like building a muscle. And you want to do behaviors and exercises, not necessarily physical exercises, but mental and emotional exercises as well, to release the trauma of the day, that help you release accumulated trauma, that help you go back to that accident that was 6 years ago that you think you've gotten over, and clear all the trauma that's being stored around that accident you didn't realize you were storing at the time. So resilience, again, support. Stress management through the four self-healing skills, belly breathing, drinking enough water. And again, I watch my new grandson, belly breathing. That's how you come into the world, belly breathing. He eats when he's hungry. He sleeps when he's tired. And for newborns, that's quite a bit of the time. Interesting. You tend to forget how much newborns sleep. Relieving themselves when they feel like it. They don't care. If they need to pee or poop, they do it. And believe me, we had some diaper changes that were pretty interesting because they don't have any social constraint. They do what their body asks them to do when their body asks them to do it. Creating some different responses. One of the things that I was listening to the other day had some information about it, that if you're very discouraged, go ahead and find something positive in that discouragement. So say I was having an appointment with a client, and I was really excited about the appointment, and they were excited, and all of a sudden they did not show up for their appointed time, and I did not hear back from them. So I have some choices here. I can take it personally, or I can say, let me call the client, see what came up, see if she wants to reschedule. Or I can say, you know, I thought it was a good fit at the time. Maybe it's not right for the client at this time. And they got what we call cold feet. Cold feet is freezing. She wanted to do something good, couldn't bring herself to do it. So what does that mean? It's nothing with me. It's with her own issue. So resilience means that you look at some things that you're hesitant to do, or you might have some cold feet around, freezing, or it might take you out of your comfort zone, freezing, or heating, and doing them anyway. There's a statement that says, feel the fear and do it anyway. So one of the things that builds resilience is when you do stuff that really helps you, and you do it repetitively so that you build up your resilience. And a stress-resilient person has things happen anyway. They just have different choices and options available to them than the stress-reactive person whose only choices are fight, flight, or freeze. So some other things you can do to help yourself. Remember the $100 exercise? Where are you spending your $100? Are you spending it in negative emotions or positive emotions? Negative thoughts or positive thoughts? All those types of things have relevance in PTSD. Excuse me. Now, I do have a guided imagery on Amazon that works with a trip to the meadow. And the trip to the meadow is a guided imagery that takes you to a stream, and you can release everything that happened to you during the day in the stream. That's a really good way of eliminating stress from the day. There's also some guided imageries for healthy immune systems and some other things, and they're all on Amazon. If you're interested, you're more than welcome to go and pick up some of those guided imageries because they help you release your stress daily. That way it doesn't build up. It's not cumulative. Another thing that's been going around, and it's going viral, is the 5-3-1 principle. The 5-3-1 principle is spend 5 minutes a day meditating or guided imagery, or I would say belly breathing and thinking positive thoughts. Three is writing down three things for which you're grateful or three things that were wonderful that happened. That cues your nervous system to focus on the positive rather than the negative. And one is give a gift. No strings, no expectations of any return on it. It's simply a gift that you give to someone. Three, it might be that you call somebody and say, I just called because I was thinking of you. It might be that you do something along pay it forward, where you pay for somebody's meal behind you. Do something for you that has you feel good about you. That's one of the best things you can do. 5-3-1, 5 minutes of breathing, three things of gratitude, and one thing of an absolutely free gift. What's my favorite success quote right now? Well, this comes from Oprah. If you look at what you have in life, you'll always have more. If you look at what you don't have in life, you'll never have enough. So I've been looking at my beautiful, wonderful family, being grateful on so many different levels. And our new addition, we welcome him with open arms. What is a tool that I use every day that I would hate to live without? Well, it is the tool of release, taking my day and releasing it. I don't want to create the same day tomorrow that I had today, even though today has been great. I might write down three things for which I'm grateful, and I know I can pay it forward. This is one of the gifts that I give to people, this free blog, helping people out. No expectation of something in return, just helping people out. That's all for today's show. I'm off to look at more pictures of my grandchild. And please, I encourage you to email questions at info@makingshiftshappen.com with anything that you might have, add to the speed round, or whatever else you would like for me to know. If you haven't done so already, consider leaving us a review. It helps us get found by others, and we get better seen in iTunes and on Stitcher. Remember, you can join the webinar. Just click on the link below and register. Thanks so much for joining us this week on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.